An uneasy few minutes ensued on both sides of the door, as the leader of the opposing force was having similar thoughts. Except for one extra fact that was bothering him intensely. How the hell had these people gotten into his camp? His people occupied the upper levels and didn't risk coming too far down because of the giant worms and the damage they caused. It made the lower levels too unstable to live in safely. So maybe there was some other way into the tunnels from the outside that they didn't know about.
Hey, you! You're on the other side! Only one of you I've seen is One Eye, but I guess from the blastifier that there's more of you back there. You want to talk or what?
Ryan exchanged glances with the other companions.
See what the guy has to say. We don't have to open the door to hear it, right?
I would say it was an excellent sign, my dear Ryan. After all, the fact that the gentleman is willing to engage in dialogue suggests a certain intelligence, does it not?
Guess so.
Okay, what you got to say? You started, so you go first.
Strikes me that we've got ourselves in a stupid situation. See, we live here, and when we hear a firefight going on, we gotta look after our territory, see that we're safe. And you? Well, way I see it is that you don't know who the hell we are, and you've got to see you're safe. So we had a firefight, and you chilled Janny and Ken. Sigh, he's probably going to be okay eventually. Time will tell. But that don't mean we need to chill you to get our pride back, you see that?
Fine words, but how can we trust you? How can you trust us?
Fair point, my friend.
I'm not your friend yet. I don't like shouting through this bastard thick door, so let's get to it.
Okay, let me ask you something, stranger. I don't think you came in through some tunnel that we don't know about.
It's not a question.
Calm down, hon. No need to be so confrontational yet.
So, how about if I ask you, if you got into the tunnels through that place where all the colored lights flicker and change all the time?
Why do you say that?
Because it's old tech, and it still works. Must, otherwise the lights wouldn't be working. We've got some idea of how bits work, but the rest of it is still a mystery.
Ryan paused before answering. A lot would hinge on his next few words. He obviously paused a little too long, as his opposing number was spurred to speech, perhaps making Ryan's decision easier.
Hell, don't clam up on me now! Listen, I'm kind of like the Baron around here, though we're too small to be a vill. The name's Joe Correll, and I'll tell you as much as this. We know all this stuff comes from before Skydock, and we can tell that a lot of it here still works. But how to work it and what it does? Well, we sure as shit don't know that. But we know where we can get what we need to know. And I'm figuring that maybe you know something, if you came here by using some of it. But maybe you need to know more. See, I can't see any reason you'd come to this shithole unless it was an accident. So maybe we can help each other. Sure gotta be better than this or a chilling, and it'll come to that if we go on this way.
Okay, listen up. We know a little. Enough to travel using some old tech and maybe to use some of the old comps. But there's a lot we only half know. And maybe if we join you and find out some more, then we can get to use a lot of the old tech to our advantage. So I guess I'm saying yes, Joe Correll.
He looked at his people as he spoke. They all assented.
Okay then. I'm gonna open the door. We all keep our blasters to hand, but we hold fire, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hitting the numbers now. Get ready.
The door began to move. It seemed to take an eternity. The door had reached 3/4 of the way to the ceiling before their opposition became fully visible, and Ryan and Joe Correll came face to face. Correll stood about the same height as Ryan, but was rangy and lean, with the appearance of one who had at one point been malnourished and had found it hard to build up his muscles once more. His face was long, with gaunt, high cheekbones that only accentuated the sallow skin stretched tight. His eyes were deep-set, with a darkness underneath them that made his steady, staring gaze seem all the more intent. His nose was scarred and had been broken several times, and his long ponytail was an ash blonde, flecked with more gray than should have been evident in a man of his years. He wore old tattered fatigues that hung on his lean frame, and an ancient K was hanging by his side, still grasped in his hand, but with the barrel pointing downward. His eyes met Ryan's gaze and locked there. The one-eyed man knew instinctively that Carell would tear them apart if they crossed him, but would play by agreed rules if they were going his way. He would be a good ally, but a dangerous enemy. Carell was thinking much the same thing as he sized up Ryan. He was impressed by the man's obvious strength. The fact that he had lost an eye and had a jagged scar to boot proved it had been a tough fight. Carell's gaze flickered over the rest of the companions. Mildred fascinated him, as he hadn't seen a black woman in a long while. Christie was an obvious beauty and looked strong. The white one showed the signs of many battles, and from his size, Carell would have expected him to have been chilled long ago, obviously a good fighter. The old man seemed crazy, smiling to himself as he stood there with an ancient blaster in his fist. Yet he had to be able to look after himself. Likewise, the boy also had to be a good fighter. This group was far too small to carry any passengers. Besides, he looked like One Eye, maybe a son. Maybe he was a passenger after all. They were a small group and looked too odd to have taken on and outsmarted his people. Maybe they could help after all in the task ahead. Ryan wondered what was going on behind Carell's impassive countenance.
So what do I call you, One Eye? You know me, after all.
Carter. Ryan Carter.
Ryan looked over the rest of Carell's company. Evidently, there had been 10. Now there were 6 people lining up behind the leader. 5 of them were men, all looking lean and ready to fight. The sole woman was stouter, with a better developed musculature. She looked to be Native American. Her skin was darker, and her hair was black, and her eyes glittered. All of them were dressed in better fatigues, camo, and old military clothes than their leader, which made Ryan wonder why Carell still wore his old rags. They all had the wariness that Ryan could feel in his own people, yet they had all relaxed the instant Carell had spoken, as though they trusted his every word, as well as following it. They carried Uzis, H&Ks, and one had an M4000 like the one JB carried. Their clothes and blaster suggested that they'd been in this redoubt for some time, and had made full use of what had been left behind after Skydark. In the distance, Ryan could see the 2 chilled corpses, and the wounded man, now semi-conscious.
Carell, maybe you should let Mildred go and see to your man back there. She knows a lot of healing skills and understands the old medicines. Let her take him to the med lab here. She may be able to help him.
Med lab?
Med lab. It's usually on the same level as the armory. A couple of your people can carry him, and I'll see if I can help him.
Carell gave Mildred a penetrating stare that for one moment completely unsettled her. She couldn't tell if he were confused, suspicious, or just plain lustful. She felt a shudder run down her spine as those deep-set eyes seemed to search into her. Then he nodded and turned his head to 2 of the men behind him.
Lonnie, Travis, help this here lady to take side of the med lab. See if she can help him. Let her lead.
2 of the men, a tall crop-haired guy and a slightly shorter guy with longer red hair, nodded, shouldered their blasters, and moved back to where Sai was lying. Mildred holstered her ZKR and hurried past Ryan and JB, moving through the other people to reach the injured man. The 2 men assigned to assist her were about to lift him.
Wait, please.
Whatever you say, lady.
That's doctor.
The physician quickly examined the prone body as Lonnie and Travis hovered over her. It was a bad injury. She couldn't guarantee saving the use of the arm, but as long as the refrigeration on the blood and plasma bank in the redoubt was still working, she may be able to keep him alive.
Okay, let's go.
As you wish, doctor.
Smartass.
She led Lonnie and Travis, carrying the prone Sai, out of sight around the tunnel bend and in search of the med lab. Carell had turned to watch them go, and now he returned his gaze to Ryan.
So, Ryan Carter, we know who we are. Introduce me to the rest of your people, and then we can go back to the living quarters, and you can meet my people.
Carell slowly shouldered his H&K and extended his hand. Ryan holstered the Sig Sauer and grasped Carell's hand. The grip was firm and dry.
That's a deal.
After introductions had been made, the 2 forces joined up and moved out of the lower tunnel, walking up toward where the redoubt dwellers had made their home. Carell explained the way his people had learned early on that the worms liked to dig deep in these parts, and apart from one or two isolated incidents, they'd never experienced any problems with the giant mutants on the upper levels. Carell's people rarely used the lower levels, just venturing down when necessary to use the shower room, take supplies, or effect repairs. Jack and Dean volunteered themselves to help the woman and one of the other men carry the corpses they had chilled up to the higher levels, where they'd be disposed of. The man and woman still seemed to have a degree of hostility over the chilling, even though they abided by their leader's word, and seemed uneasy at Jack and Dean's assisting. But both youths felt it was a necessary gesture. They passed the med lab, and Carell stopped to see what was going on. Mildred turned as the door opened. Travis was assisting her, his red hair pushed back from his face as he leaned over the prone Sai. But Lonnie had been overcome by seeing Sai's wound up close and was standing some distance away.
What's going on?
Hard to say at the moment. There was some superficial wounding from the flechettes, but the real damage is around the joint itself. I've cleaned up the rest of his arm, and I'm looking at the tendons and muscle damage to see what I can do. Thing is, I'm no surgeon. I can patch him up, but he may not be able to use the arm too well.
Well, that is as may be, but there's nothing we can do about it. I thank you for your help. We'll leave you to your task.
They left the med lab and rejoined the rest of the party waiting outside.
Tell me, my dear sir, how did you come to be living here?
In good time, Dr. Tanner, is it? In good time. First, we must do what is necessary.
They reached the upper level of the redoubt and went past an area that was obviously where the inhabitants had made their home. There were several people about, and they stopped to stare as Carell led the party past them. A hush descended.
It's not exactly the best way for them to get acquainted with us, is it, Ryan? They're really going to love us for killing and wounding their people.
Carell looked back at Christy.
They'll know the truth soon enough. First, we do this.